If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me, please, over in the Word of God. I'm going to begin in the Scripture where I'm going to end up in today's message. Turn with me over to Luke, please, chapter number 12. Luke, chapter number 12. In Luke, chapter number 12, the Bible tells us a parable here. A lot of times people say, well, a parable is just a story, and it is, but we need to understand that whenever Jesus used a parable, it was an earthly story to illustrate a spiritual or a heavenly meaning, internal meaning behind it. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 16, Brother John touched on this in Sunday school. And I praise the Lord for His goodness today. The Bible said, He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, preacher, what's going on here? His barns are running over. I mean, his cup is really just running over. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, you know he was rich. The reason I say that, my son has a barn and he needed a place to put hay. And then he needed a place to put his equipment. And he didn't tear down the barn that he already had. He put a 30-foot shed on one side of it, and then he went and put a 30-foot shed on the other side of it. You understand what I mean? This guy tore him down, started all over again. He had plenty of money. He was rich. That's what Jesus said. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, this is what I'd like for you to underline in your Bible, thou fool. God said that now. Preacher didn't say that today. I'm preaching today on four fools in the Bible. Four fools in the Bible. And I want you to remember while that I'm preaching, the preacher didn't say it. God did. Amen. And he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? There were two men standing one day at a rich man's funeral. And everybody in town knew that he was very, very rich. And one man said to another, I wonder how much he left. The wise man looked at him and said, all of it. He may not have had a dollar figure, but he knew the Bible well enough to know that we were naked when we come into this world and we'll be naked when we go out. We brought nothing in and we're not going to take anything out. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, this morning, God willing, we're going to end up in this text, but I wanted you to, if you have a red letter edition Bible, to understand that it's Jesus that said the words, thou fool. And by the way, he cautions us about calling one another a fool. Amen. But when Jesus or the Word of God declares someone to be a fool, I believe we ought to listen and that we ought to see what he has to say. Father, thank you for the Word of God now. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to hearts in a very unusual and a very special way today. Help us, our Lord, to glean truth from this passage of Scripture. As we get into the Word of God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Maybe some of us, Lord, at times act in foolish ways and manners. Maybe some of us, as we go through the Bible today, can say we know someone that according to the Bible is a fool. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to do what we can to turn that foolishness into faithfulness. Lord, that we might be a witness for thee in these days. As the girls sang, Lord, little is much. when God is in it. Lord, there's a harvest today. Help us, Lord, not to say 4 months, then cometh harvest, but to lift up our eyes, for the fields are wide already to harvest. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to give you four areas in the Word of God today where that God declares a man is a fool. The first time that I want to find and look at in the Word of God is in the Psalm, the book of Psalm, chapter number 14 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." It's a fool, according to the Bible, that declares that there is no God. I want to back up this morning and kind of reemphasize something that Brother John said a while ago. There's a whole lot of people that would never say that with their mouth, but they say it with their life every day. There's no time for Sunday school. There's no time for church. There's no time for the Word of God. There's no time for prayer. There's no time to share a witness with somebody else. There's no time, beloved, listen, for God. And a life many times says, you know what? There is no God. And the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He said they're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He said they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. God put us all in one lump. So at Calvary, a fool could come to himself and realize there is a God. We're sinners. He's the Savior. And we can trust Him to be our Savior. Let me give you a couple of things the Lord spoke to my heart about. Number one, man knows better when he looks into his own heart. Man knows better than to say there's no God, because God gave us something called a conscience. Listen to what the Bible said in Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I put in parentheses besides this Bible verse. You may not like this morning. That's what the progressive movement is all about. When you want to say there's no he's anymore and there's no she's anymore, they profess to be wise, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. God created a male and female, and He's still creating a male and female. You don't go down to the nursery in the hospital and stand behind the family where a baby's been born and ask the question, what is it? And somebody turn around and say, we don't know. It's a boy or it's a girl. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? In the beginning, beloved, listen, it wasn't that way. In the beginning of a man's life, so there are people that tell you God made them that way. That's a lie out of hell. They have struck down their conscience. And just on the inside of a man's heart, he knows there is a God. The Bible said they were not thankful. They were vain. Man knows better, not only when he looks into his own heart. He knows there's a God, but man knows better when he looks up to God's heaven. He knows there's a God. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God said, I made the stars so they speak and tell mankind there is a God. I made the sun so it speaks and tells mankind there is a God. I made the moon so it speaks and tells mankind there is a God. And it speaks in every language. Beloved, listen. The Bible is telling us man knows better in his own heart. Man knows better when he looks up to God's heaven. But man knows better when it comes time to leave here. God gave me the statement, then I began to do a little research. Every man knows better when it comes time to leave here. They know there's a God. If not, then why, just before those two automobiles collide, would you hear people saying, oh my God. Why, when somebody's loved one is laying down at the hospital that claims they don't believe in a God, why would you hear them say, oh my God, or why would you hear them say, we need you to pray for us if there is no God? The Bible teaches us there is a God. We'll answer to Him one day after a while. Well, man knows better. Listen, Thomas Paine, he was the leading atheistic writer in the American colonies. Here's what he said when he was dying. Stay with me, for God's sake. I cannot bear to be left alone. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will become of me hereafter? I would give worlds if I had them, that the Age of Reason had never been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me. No, don't leave. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone. I, ever the devil had an agent, have been that one. That's what the atheist said when he was dying. Beloved, when it comes time to leave here, you're not going to find a person saying there is no God. The man Voltaire, he was a famous anti-Christian atheist. He said in his dying breath, I am abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months to live. He said that to his doctor, who told him that it could not be done. Then I shall die and go to hell, he said. His nurse said, for all the money in Europe, I wouldn't want to see another unbeliever die. All night long he cried for forgiveness. Why? Because he realized too late there is a God. We're going to face him. David Hume, the atheist philosopher, famous for his skepticism of religion, in his dying breath, he cried loud on his deathbed, I am in flames. It is said that his desperation was a horrible scene. You say, preacher, four fools in the Bible. The first one said there is no God. The fool that declares that there is no God. Let me give you this secondly in the message today. I could spend a lot more time right there, but you'll get the point. The man that says there is no God, pastor didn't say it. The Baptist didn't say it. God in his precious word said it takes a fool to say there is no God. The second thing I want to look at today is the fool. It's a fool that is determined to sin against God. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we said the fool declares that there is no God. The second fool is the fool that is determined to sin against God. Let me give you the passage of Scripture that's on my heart. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Beloved, listen to me. There are people in Kingsport, Tennessee. If they were sitting on the front bench in Bible Way Baptist Church this morning, would already be laughing at what I've said from the Word of God. Would already be scorning. Would already be mocking. Would already be making faces. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I'm telling you the Word of God said, fools make a mock at sin. That's what the Word of God said. Sin will deceive you. The Bible said in Proverbs 20 and verse number 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I wrote down these three words, wine, women, and the world. Beloved, sin will deceive you. Sin will deceive me. And the Word of God said, beloved, it's a fool that determines in his heart to sin against God. The fool. I said, preacher, I don't see that in the Bible. Ask David. Ask David if sin deceived him. Ask Samson if sin deceived him. Ask Solomon, the man that wrote those words. Ask Solomon if sin deceived him. By the way, we could ask around in this congregation. Sin has deceived us. Sin, listen, Satan never tells the truth about sin. He didn't in the beginning and he doesn't now. When he came to Eve, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, Eve, you're missing out, honey. God knows the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to be just like him. You're missing out. And that same lie is being told to our young people. You're missing out. I tell you, it's a blessing to miss out on sin. It's a blessing not to be scarred by sin. Sin will deceive you. Sin will destroy you. The Bible said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I thank God for the young people in our church, for the moms and dads, for the mamaws and the papaws, because we understand that sin will destroy us. Beloved, listen. Let no man say when he is tempted, the Bible said, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. What God is telling us in these verses is, you can't blame God for sin. The Word of God said, then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Listen carefully. Holy Spirit spoke to my heart this morning when I read that verse. It didn't say anything about the people sitting on a bar stool. It didn't say anything about the people, beloved, in the house of ill repute last night. It didn't say anything about the people that rolled up their sleeves and injected drugs into their body. He said, my beloved brethren, do not err, my beloved brethren. Beloved, the Bible said the man that declares there is no God, he's a fool. The man that's determined to sin against God, he's a fool. Sin will deceive you. Sin will destroy you and me. But the Savior will deliver you. The Bible said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. I love this, Brother Larry. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We can thank God for Calvary. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank Him this morning. The fool had determined in his heart to sin against God. Number three. Not only is it a fool that declares that there is no God, the fool that determines to sin against God, but there's a fool that despises instruction from God. Now listen to me carefully. People will say things like this. I don't care what the Bible says. We better care what the Bible says. People say that sometimes when it's pertaining to children. People say that sometimes when it's pertaining to marriage. People say that sometimes when it's pertaining to the house of God. When it's pertaining to the home. But we better care what the Bible said. The fool despises instruction from God. The Bible said in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Beloved, listen to me this morning. How many can say you had a daddy that instructed you right? How many can remember a time in your life when you thought your daddy didn't know much at all? How many can remember when you started having children and you figured out your daddy wasn't near as dumb as you thought he was, and you're not near as smart as you thought you were? The Bible said it's a fool that despises instruction from God. You say, preacher, you're talking about parents. If parents are instructing you in the right way, you ought to take that as instruction from God. Amen. You ought to obey your mother and your father. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I wonder how Eve felt after eating of that tree that God instructed her not to eat of. I wonder if she had it to do over again, if she wouldn't have told that snake, get on out of here. I don't have time, listen to me, to talk to you. I don't have time to listen to you. By the way, beloved, when you start talking to him and listening to him, you're going to get in trouble.
Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." When Peter said, "Beloved, listen," that he wouldn't go and be killed. Beloved, listen. In Romans 13:11, the Bible said, knowing the time, now is high time to awake out of sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I believed 30 years ago. So I'm 30 years nigher, Brother John, to that appointment in Revelation 21 and 22. I'm 30 years nigher to that appointment than I was when I got saved 30 years ago. Now is our salvation nearer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envying. Put you on the Lord Jesus. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Young Timothy was told by the Apostle Paul, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. I'm not going to name names this morning, but I sat in the Sunday school class this morning and thanked God for young people that were in the auditorium this morning. He said, "Preacher, why?" Because they're continuing in the things which they have learned. Statistics will tell you that there are many more young people that do not continue in the things which they have learned than do continue in the things which they have learned. What do you mean? Well, they go off to college. And in college, they begin to hear things. Well, nowadays, honey, you can hear it in elementary school. Things that contradict this blessed old book. Things that contradict the old preacher. Things that contradict the old Sunday school teacher. Things that contradict the Word of God. They get off. And those professors start on them. Now they're just not sure that the Bible is as absolute as they used to be sure. Let me tell you something right now. We better believe that the instruction of God is what we need, and that we're fools to despise the instruction that God has given us in His Word. Timothy, continue in those things. From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Here's the key, instruction in righteousness. My brother hadn't been saved too long, and he called the Bible his instruction manual. Most of us men, I didn't say all of us, but most of us are just way too brilliant when it comes Christmas time to look at how many tools we need. Page 1, page 2, page 3. How many's with me? Page 4, page 5. And we take those pages and throw them over to the side and say, "Good night. A kid could put this together." And sometimes we get it together. But more times than not, we end up taking it apart and going back to the instructions. By the way, let me just say this to you. That's how a person gets saved. When they realize they've been building on sand all their life, and everything that they've built up needs to be torn down, and they need to start over on the right foundation with the right instruction, with the Word of the living God. Timothy was a man that understood that. Ask Jonah this morning. Ask him. Is the instructions that God give, are they important? Are they really important? I mean, after all, God said go to Nineveh, right? Yeah. But he got on a ship going down to Tarsus. God said this way. He said, "Now I'm going to go this way." Ask Jonah, which is the best way? The best way to do is go the way God instructs you to go. That's the best way to do. I believe that. The fool, he declares that there is no God. The fool is determined to sin against God. The fool
despises the instruction from God. Let me give you this in closing. Turn back to Luke chapter number 12. The fool dies unprepared to meet God. Here's a man that died unprepared to meet God. The ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? There's not a hint of thankfulness. There's not a hint of giving God the glory." By the way, it's talking here about fruits. How many understands well enough to know this? We can put seed in the ground, but if God don't help us after that, there'll be no fruit. I don't care how good the soil is, it needs sunshine. I don't care how good the soil is, it needs rain. It needs God in order to make it. By the way, beloved, listen, that would be a good attitude for us to have this month as we go out sowing the seed. Don't matter how good a job we do sowing the seed, we still need God. We still need God to give the increase. We can sow it and we can plant it and we should. But God gives the increase. The Bible said he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? I have no room to bestow my fruits." He said, "This will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods." You know what I want to say right there? I believe this move on his part would impress his neighbors. Don't you? Boy, look over there. It's a sad commentary, but I'm telling you the truth this morning. Some people live and die, and all they live and die for is to impress somebody else on this world. One man said it like this. He said, "We spend money that we don't have on things that we don't need to impress somebody that we don't like." God help us. Here's a man that's going to die as a fool. The Word of God, Jesus said here, he said, "I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater, I'll bestow my fruits and goods. I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods for many years." In other words, he's thinking, I've got the future taken care of. Let me just say this morning. I'm not trying to be ugly. But listen to me, if your confidence is in Wall Street concerning your future, you got it in the wrong place. If your confidence is in retirement or in a job concerning the future, listen, you know, every one of us that are saved by the grace of God ought to tell the whole world we've got a retirement program that's out of this world. We sang about it a while ago. I'm not against a retirement program. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's not where our confidence ought to be. That's not where our trust ought to be. That's why, beloved, listen, when the stock market crashed, people killed themselves. Amen. The Word of God is talking about a man. He said, "Man, I've got the future. I've got it all in control. I've got insurance. I've got investments. I've got a home. I've got a family. I've got cars. I've got lands." Let me just say this to you this morning. It would behoove every one of us to remember where we got what we got. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. God gave us what we have. And beloved, listen, really, it's not ours. Really, it's borrowed. Temporary. Here's a man, Jesus comes along and he says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Think about that, Brother John, 12 hours this night. Brother John was teaching at Sunday school, what if we only had 12 hours left? He was teaching that at 10 o'clock, so 10 o'clock tonight would be night. Jesus said, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then who's going to be bragging about the stuff? He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself
and is not rich toward God. Beloved, it's a fool that dies unprepared to meet God. In the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 3, and I'm almost finished, the Bible said, and the king lamented over Abner and said, this was King David, he said, died Abner as a fool dieth. One of the reasons the king said that is because Abner died just outside the gate of the city of refuge. He was just a few steps from safety. My heart is broken when we meet and I realize the service is over and someone was just a few steps from safety. Just a few steps from dying as a fool dieth. You say, preacher, where is our refuge? Is it in the city of refuge? No. Our refuge is in the cross of Calvary. Our refuge is in the Christ that loved us and gave himself for us. And died for our sin according to the scripture. Was buried and rose again the third day. According to the scripture. That's where our refuge is. Happy day. Miriam and Preston came out this week. And this just came to my mind. I think it's kind of funny. I asked Miriam. I said, how long are you saved for? She said, a week. I was looking at the other side of the question. She was looking. She'd just been so happy for a week. She wanted to talk about the week. I was wanting her to say, well, I'm saved forever. I'm saved for eternity. I said, how long are you saved for? She said, a week. With a great old big smile. We are saved. I've talked about 30 years. But honey, I'm saved when time shall be no more. I'm saved for eternity. Died Abner as a fool dieth. How many remembers a little bit about the last words of the atheist a while ago? I'm not going to go back and read. How many remember a little bit? They kind of looked foolish in their dying days, didn't they? In their dying hours. Think about this. I want to close this morning with the last words. The last words of Martin Luther. He said, our God is the God from whom cometh salvation. God is the Lord by whom we escape death. That's what he said when he was dying. He said, preacher, he didn't have no right to say that. Oh, he understood what Jesus meant when he said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He understood that. In other words, he just changed in tense. To be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. John Knox said, live in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. John Wesley said, the best of all is, God is with us. Farewell, farewell. Don't sound like people too tore up to me. And then Charles Wesley said, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. These are the last words of these men. He said, satisfied, satisfied. Hallelujah. Are you satisfied this morning that if you breathed your last breath, heaven would be your home? Are you satisfied this morning that you wouldn't die like Abner as a fool dieth? I believe this message is scriptural. It's a fool that declares there is no God. It's a fool that is determined to sin against God. It's a fool that despises instruction from God. I never have understood. Listen to me. I've sat under some preaching, honey, that I felt like was raking me up one side and raking me down the other. But God is my witness. I've never got mad at a preacher for preaching to me. Brother Grizzle, when it was raking me up one side and raking me down the other, I've never got mad at the preacher. I've always thanked God for that preacher. Amen. Oh, you say that's because you are a preacher. No, that's because I'm a Christian that's sorry and needs help. God loves me enough to send me help once in a while. Amen. Amen. Then the fool. It's a fool that dies unprepared to meet God. A fool. Little Sawyer's my buddy. I bring Sawyer in sometimes, and one day we had Landon on her lap. I want him to hear the choir. I want him to get used to going to church. I want him to enjoy church. But the main thing is, I don't want him to die as a fool dies. Be better that my little buddy never been born than to leave this world without Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Lord, we want to thank you this morning for the admonition from the Word of God. Thank you this morning, Lord, that God's people are not fools. There are times we do foolish things, act in foolish manners. But God, we're certainly not fools. And I pray, dear Lord, that this message would speak to the hearts, every one of us. God, that we would understand that many times that person on the job, many times that person on the street, maybe our neighbor, using God's name in vain, living for themselves, living for this world. God, you said they're a fool. But God, there was a time when many of us were doing exactly the same thing. And in your faithfulness, you delivered us from our foolishness. And I pray, dear Father, today that you'd help us to glean from this message truth that would transform our lives, change us, make us more like Jesus.